Blog Talk Radio.
What's the matter, people? Solidarity. Oh. Everybody wants the same thing, don't they? Everybody wants a happy end. They want to see the game on Saturday. They want to see somebody's friend. Everybody want to work for a living. Everybody want their children warm. Everybody wants to be forgiven. They want a shelter from the storm. Look at me, I hate the enemy. He won't even come around. He don't need to fight each other. What we need, what we need.
Solidarity.
Oh,
solidarity. Solidarity.
Oh, yeah.
Solidarity.
Nobody likes to ask for money. Nobody likes to pay the clown. Nobody likes to wait in a long line. Nobody likes being pushed around. Everybody wants a family protected. They want to express themselves. Everybody wants to live forever. Look at me and think the enemy. Don't believe everything you hear. This is no time to fight each other. What we need, what we need.
Solidarity. Solidarity.
Boy.
Solidarity. 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 Solidarity.
Hey, people.
To everyone, welcome to another segment, A New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and that was a group that you don't hear much about anymore, but certainly the music, the message is right on point, right on time. Solidarity. That was a group called Black Uhuru, meaning Black Freedom. And needless to say, solidarity. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And while we don't really see it in the manner that we should and could. Solidarity, it can also be translated into unity, umoja. And again, you know, good conversation, nice to have it around Kwanzaa time and all of that, but how and when is it really going into effect? Well, again, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about functional unity, operational unity, and what I now call practical unity, basic fundamental kinds of stuff. So I've created some concepts and theories on practical unity, practical justice, et cetera, et cetera. Again, from a very preliminary but yet necessary standpoint and vantage point. So again, we're going to talk about that a little later on. Tonight, we're going to also come in the spirit of the great, and these are two MWM sister saints, by the way, and they are Saint Sister Clara Muhammad and also Saint Callie House. Now, we did not do the tribute to Sister Clara Muhammad as we should have earlier this month, because what we do with our 25 sister saints, we always recognize them at the time of their Earth Day and or at the time of their dates of transition. And, of course, Mother Saint Clara Muhammad, Earth Day was November 4th. So we did not do what we should have did last week in terms of recognizing her. And so we're going to do that tonight. And not just in terms of her being extremely instrumental in the development of the Nation of Islam. You know, we always hear a lot about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we should, but for some strange reason, we tend not to hear that much about Sister Clara Muhammad. So, you know, we're going to make sure that changes a bit, too, and particularly as we now raise this serious question around the education of our children. So, again, what we are realizing and have realized for quite a while, needless to say, because we used to have quite a few independent schools here in Philly, and you could find them also around the country a few years ago. So obviously people knew that it was important to educate our children. However, in the 21st century, you find that being less and less, where it should be more and more, because we're supposed to be advancing. But again, many of the charter schools now, independent schools, a lot of them have transformed into charter schools, and also people who were more about independent education have also now aligned themselves with charter school. And we know that in most cases that's a little better than the regular stuff, but at the same time, it's not independent, and they get rid of you whenever they want to. And we've seen that here in Philly on numerous occasions, particularly if the school was doing just a little too much, being a little too black, and not, you know, really kind of like being so obvious or not being so adamant about this system in one way or the other. What they do is get rid of them. They'll either say there is some testing issues or the students are not up to par, their grades are not up to snuff, or they'll see there's some financial, this, you know, things going on, or whatever, but whatever it is, they get rid of them, bottom line. So we should know by now that we have to have our own. We should have been at our own. And again, in certain situations, you still see it. I think in D.C., there's a school there. There's one here, Lotus Academy, is still, and it is still independent, and it's still, you know, functioning. But again, for the most part, education, and just think about the family. And I was looking at something with Brother Malcolm earlier, something that he also said, that only a fool would allow their enemy to educate their children. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what it came down to. So here we are with a bunch of folk now with bachelor degrees, master's degrees, PhDs, in a lot of different certification areas, you know, I mean, like never before. But yet we can't really cite how we're educating our children, ourselves. That's kind of real strange, but then it isn't when you really understand not only the system of all white supremacy, but when you really understand the mindset that we're really dealing with. So we're going to start breaking that down a little bit too, family, as we proceed. That in the spirit of Sister Clara Muhammad, because once you know some of the history of that dynamite, courageous black woman, and by the way, for those that do not know, she was the one to introduce Islam to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Who figured? But anyway, when you see the adamant stand that she and others took in the 1930s, 40s, in terms of educating our children and nearly went to jail, you know, needless to say, today, we have no excuses, but yet we are not educating our children. Most are sending their children to the enemy 5 days a week, from 5 to 7 hours a day. Now, and then we think they're going to come out of that, you know, acting like, you know, like they got some sanity. I mean, it just makes no sense. Here we are in the 21st century, and we still don't get that one yet. But again, this is why we have to do these critical examinations. And needless to say, what you all probably know about me by now is when I kind of point out an issue, I definitely also have a plan of action, at least to propose or suggest. Now, I know most aren't going to, you know, support it because I'm used to that. But now we're learning to just go ahead and do it ourselves. With that said, want to give a big shout out. Last night, we had an excellent, excellent Zoom meeting. Baba Mukasa Dada, also known as Baba Willie Ricks, joined us and really gave us a lot of good information and insight, you know, about the Black Panther Party initially, in terms of Laos County, but also what I really, really wanted to focus on was students, how Black students were so important in the development of the civil rights movement as well as the Black liberation movements. These were students or young adults or young teenagers during that time period, during the 50s and 60s, for the freedom rides, for the sit-ins and all of that. So regardless of what strategy was being implemented, the fact still remains that the students played a major role. So last night's conversation on Zoom was to highlight that, to examine that, and to really show the importance of that and why today students, Black students that is, are not really taking certain kinds of positions. It's sporadic. There's limited consistency. They're not active on campuses anymore like they were. And so we really had to look at that to see what has happened and how the student movement got, like everything else, co-opted. We saw that during George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, the murder of Breonna Taylor. So we now are looking at how to recapture or re-energize Black student movement, right? So we talked about that last night. We had Sister Cleo Silvers with us last night also. And again, these were two great Black warrior pioneers that started out as students. Baba Willie Ricks talked to us about being a part of SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And then, of course, how that later advanced into some other formats and some other cadres. And, of course, Baba Stokely Carmichael, a.k.a. Also known as, of course, Kwame Ture. So, again, he, too, was in SNCC. But we also talked about the women who influenced them. Saint Fannie Lou Hamer, Saint Ella Baker. These were two women who were very instrumental in helping Black students to grow, develop, become direct active, deal with activism in a direct action kind of manner, and other things, right? And then, of course, in later years, you also had Dave Bates as well. That was more, in terms of dealing with the segregation in Little Rock and so forth and so on. But these were women who played major roles that, really helped the students to grow and develop in certain kinds of ways. So we talked about that last night on our Zoom session in preparations to get ready for some upcoming symposiums that is going to be specifically for Black students. And it will give them some of the history of the Black student movement, not just here in the U.S., but also, say, for example, in Azania in South Africa. Of course, examples being that of Stephen Biko and others. Okay, and so we want to make sure that as sisters, as mothers, as daughters in particular, that we up this ante and make sure that our children and young adults and students and so forth is getting certain kinds of information that they need to get, and that we are going to be more responsible in nurturing the next generation to be more active oriented. Okay, because, just to tell students go to college and get a good education and all of that, come on now. That's really not what we need to just be saying. But unfortunately, that's pretty much what's happening. And so when we look at the percentage of students that go to college and then look at the percentage of how many come back and actually do stuff in the communities, not a good look. All right, so something has to be done in that regard. And again, we'll talk a little more about that later. So that's one of the topics. And the other topic we're going to talk about tonight is, do we really understand the political parties? Do we really understand how some of that works for real? I mean, I know we do to some degree, needless to say, because, you all are pretty swift. But for real, we want to start breaking that down so that we really, really, really know. And with that, know how to better play the game, because that's really all it is. It's a game. We should not take it but so seriously, even though it's very serious, but at the same time, to take it to heart. That's what too many of our people have done. They believed in that like they believed in the white Jesus on the wall and in those pictures with John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. Again, some stuff you just got to go, I don't think so, right? And just know, that, hey, there's a whole other dynamic going on. So at any rate, the point is we're going to talk more about what we call Poli-Sci 101, Black Political Science 101. So we're going to be doing classes very soon. You'll be able to join us on Zoom and on Facebook and on YouTube. And we'll be doing classes and on civics and what is a register of wills. What does the sheriff's office actually, do, paper-wise? We know it goes on in other ways, but we want to at least know the job description and all that stuff as it is on paper. What are city council people supposed to do? Your state senator, et cetera, et cetera. We are going to break that stuff down now. And again, this is Black Poli-Sci 101, Black Political Science 101. So that's going to start in a couple of weeks. Our brother Shamari, who is one of the communicators here on Word, and, also an activist in the community, and a few other folks are going to develop the curriculum, along with myself, so that, again, we can provide information, not just, from the textbook and from these other entities, but based on what we know on the street level on how this stuff really operates. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as well. And speaking of that, we're going to talk with our sister Betty. Betty T is going to be in the house later, very shortly, actually, and we're going to talk with her about somebody in Memphis is attempting to bring the National Guard. Sounds very familiar. You know, we just had an election here in Philly. The first black woman mayor, the first woman mayor, period, but also the first black woman mayor, was elected. And her platform included more police and other initiatives or things to increase law enforcement and things of that nature. We know that other cities are following the same program. I wonder why. And wait a minute. Are all these people in the Democratic Party? I think so. So let me see. So Memphis, Philly, Chicago, New York, all of these are black folks that are proposing more law enforcement, stop and frisk, and things of that nature. I wonder where that's really coming from. Anyway, we're going to talk about that with Sister Betty shortly, who's going to tell us about what's going on there in Memphis. And we're going to connect the black dots on that. The other thing that we want to talk a little bit about is, what have we learned over the past 30 years when it comes to the social epidemic? Or in this last case, pandemic, but I'm going to keep it to epidemic for now. And what I mean by that is, remember, there was AIDS, HIV. Now, we're talking about the stuff that hit the black communities nationwide. HIV, AIDS, crack cocaine, right, and then COVID. So, since we've been able to see that right before our eyes in real time and saw what it did to our communities, what have we learned from that? We're going to have that conversation a little bit too. Let's see how sharp some folks really are when it comes to analyzing certain things that we definitely have seen right before our own eyes, but also what have we learned from that? Because that's going to be really important. And again, we're the ones who are responsible for what happens with the next generation. So are we actually doing that as a people? I'm not talking about as individuals or small groups, but as the people who say they have some consciousness or awareness or whatever you want to call it, that particular segment of our people. So we're going to dive into that one a little bit too. All right. Anyway, moving right along. Again, I want to thank Sister Cleo Silvers for joining us last night and Baba Mukasa, Willie Ricks, Mukasa and Baba joined us. And I want to thank both of them for they tore it up. That's all I can tell you. All right. Moving right along. Let me see if I see Sister Betty in queue. I think I do. But before we do, we're going to go to a couple of quick open mics just to kind of get some feedback from you if you have some quick announcements or you just want to chime in on something that I just said. I'm going to give you a minute or two to do that while we get ready to queue up Sister Betty T, who, again, is going to give us a report from Memphis in terms of the National Guard coming to Memphis. That's what's being proposed there. Okay. But for right now, let's do an open mic real quick. Caller, we're going to come to you at 9498-9498. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Sister Delay, what's going on?
Hey, Brother Ray Ray, how you be?
How's everything? We saw Pam at the anniversary for Simotep.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a nice little get together today. It was pretty decent. So she came up.
Wonderful.
Pretty decent. So you know, so they got a lot of good stuff going on in New York.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, yeah. You all had a good session the other evening with Sister Keisha.
Oh yeah, well, you know, Keisha, that's a good, that museum is, I guess you got to get down there.
Oh yeah, you know. Ain't no doubt about it. Yep. And in fact, you know, the sister that we're going to bring on shortly, she's not in in that part of Tennessee. She's in Memphis, but I think the museum is in Nashville. But yeah, we're going to be heading down that way real soon because we're going to be doing something to commemorate St. Callie House. And speaking of
right.
that, Brother Ray Ray, I was doing a little research because I'm, you know, getting ready for what we're getting ready to do in reference to Mother Callie House, because, you know, we need to talk about her exoneration. We talked about the exoneration
right.
of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, but we need to also talk about the exoneration of St. Callie House, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I was doing some research and come to find out, I'm going to check further because I was only able to look at a couple of sources, but it appears that she's in an unmarked grave.
Mm.
Yes. Now, again, I can't confirm that just yet because I'm still looking at it, but so far, according to what I have read, which was Tennessee, you know, stuff, encyclopedia and history and so
mm-hmm.
forth, they have said that she's in an unmarked grave. Now, you know,
mm-hmm.
if that is real, I mean, if that's really the case, oh, my gosh, no way. No way we can let that happen. But anyway. All right, Brother Ray Ray, well, as usual, always good talking with you. Again, you had a dynamite, program the other evening. Family, Brother Ray Ray, you can catch them every other Wednesday for the Mackie Study Group. And they had Sister Keisha came in with a lot of information on music.
Yeah, she might do a part two.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, definitely keep us posted. Keep us posted. Is it up on YouTube yet, Brother Ray Ray?
Oh yeah, it's on YouTube. Yeah, it's up.
Okay, tell folks where they can go to check it out.
Yeah, all lectures, Philadelphia Connection and the surrounding states that tune into Sister Empress and Blog Talk. You can view all of the lectures from the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr. History Club on YouTube under BK William Mackey Jr. But I'm going to tell you, Sister Filet, and I'm going to tell y'all, family, the baddest ones was the one Dr. Lewis did on the one Dr. Lewis did on COVID. That's the one they put me in Facebook jail for. I only have that on hard copy.
But right,
a lot of the
right.
stuff that they say now, that one was Kid Dynamite. That
yeah,
was
I
good.
Know that's right.
But they by Dr. Lewis, but they hurried up and took that off. That was very good, you know. That was very good.
Wow.
His lectures. It was so good. They snatched it off as soon as it came on.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, that's why, again, Brother Ray Ray, we got to get our own everything. And that's one of our new slogans, our own everything forever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're creating, I didn't want to put it out there yet, but we're getting ready to put out our first snacks. We have a popcorn that we get ready to put out called Our Own. So you know, we're getting ready to do what we know we need to do. And so that's one of our new slogans, one of our new brands, Our Own.
Yeah, because they, if we don't do it on our own, they already saying you could actually be brought up on charges if you say something against a hat.
Yeah, well. You know, again, we better, this is why I asked the question earlier, my brother, what have we learned? If we haven't learned from what these people are showing us, have shown us,
they are doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be on us.
You could be brought up on, you could be brought up if you say something against a hat.
Mm, mm, mm. Well,
It's they're bringing it in Congress. They're bringing in it's going to be a law where you can't say nothing, and that's definitely going after freedom of speech.
Well, they've
and
already
New York,
been working
New York,
on it.
Yeah. New York is definitely done because they just our illustrious mayor, who we were so proud of, basically states in all that they cut, this is the fifth time they cut city services due to the migrant crisis. So the $64,000 question that you have to ask is, the migrant situation is not going to slow down. So
right.
If you're cutting... That's not going to stop it. So if you're taking money out of a budget, you're taking money out of a budget that you're supposed to use for Philly or for New York, and you're going to slash free city services and tell people to do more with less and then take that money and funnel it to the migrant crisis, then... And if the migrants keep coming, what's next? Layoffs? They're going to kill the cities from the inside.
Quick question, Brother Ray Ray. Do they still have stop and frisk in New York?
Well, if they want to stop you, they're going to stop you.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that. But I'm
they
saying
don't have it like they had it. They don't have it like they had it under Bloomberg, who brought his way into that scenario. He paid... And he's the brains behind the stuff that's going on now, the bike lanes, he got his people in all of the top positions, him and Soros, all these weaponized Negroes, and I truly believe that the new person y'all got down there might be a member of the team.
Mm.
I could basically guarantee it.
Well,
I can basically guarantee it.
That's why we're going to break it down a little bit tonight, because
I could guarantee she's out of the clear blue sky. Y'all get a black mayor. All right, you had one before. You had one before, ain't do you no good, and we had one before, ain't do us no good, and we got another one in there now that's doing us in.
Mm-hmm.
And they all part of that team down there, and then that big building down there.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
That big giant building down there.
No, I know what you're talking about.
They on the payroll.
Mm,
so
all
I don't
right.
care what talking to. She's on the payroll. Yeah, I had that. Been down this road before, so don't get your hopes up too high, Philly. Because we thought we had our hopes up, and look what's happening now.
Okay.
End of story.
Oh.
And black
right.
folks ain't saying a damn thing.
You got that right.
Quiet.
All right, my brother. Well, we're going to move on. Always good talking with you. And again, we're going to connect some dots tonight, what we call the black dots. All right.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Peace. All right, family. Moving right along. That was our brother Ray Ray, of course. And we're going to now, again, if you have a question or a comment or some thought, we're going to get ready to talk to our sister Betty T very shortly. Again, we're going to take a few more minutes. You can press 1, and we will hear your comment or thought before we have our conversation with Sister Betty, who is going to talk to us about the National Guard coming to Memphis. And how is that applicable to what's going on here and other places, Chicago, New York, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, so let's go quickly to 2816. 2816, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Living on the front line.
Yes, indeedy. Every day.
All right, sister, one love. Great show as usual. But it's good you're going to do Sister Claire Muhammad a situation. I mean, as far as bringing her to the forefront. because when the Honorable Muhammad was in prison from 1942 to 1946, she held down the whole nation. She's the first lady of Islam, you know. She was the messenger's wife, you know. And she's the mother of Elijah, not Elijah, Ward D. She's the mother of Ward D. Muhammad.
Yeah, of course I know that.
That was one of her sons. She had four sons and two girls. But anyway, so as far as Memphis, Memphis is horrible. I lived in Memphis for like, 5 years. A friend of mine was an NBA star, Anthony. For those of y'all don't know, Anthony Penny Hardaway, that was my main man. He took care of me for 3 years, paid my rent, gave me money. We had to eat every day. He was my friend. Plus, he was my client and what I do professionally and my, you know, profession. But anyway, in Memphis, Tennessee, baby, it ain't no joke. Mayor Harrington, Willie Harrington, they had this show called The First 48 Hours on TV. I don't know if y'all remember that show, The First 48 Hours, that if a crime can't be solved in the first 48 hours, it's likely it won't be solved at all. They moved. There was so much killing in Memphis, they moved the whole production company to Memphis. They said, we got enough here to run our TV show for the year. And Mayor Harrington said, no, you can't do that because you'll give the people, Bill Street and Memphis, the barbecue, the pork on the fork in Memphis every May. You run up with the tours in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't set up production the first 4 days. So he didn't let them do that, Willie Harrington. And but it was so much killing going on there, baby. It was not nice. But anyway, so that was that. And one other thing, when people say peace and love, most people don't know what peace is, really is. And you know what peace is? The peace is in the grave. That's why on all tombstones, you don't have to believe me, look at your tombstone. What is RIP? Rest in peace. Okay? Because you don't have to worry about no rent. You don't have to worry about the way the situation of the world. You don't have to worry about nothing once you're in the grave. Peace is in the grave. That's why, like I said, and every tombstone is RIP. Rest in peace.
We're in good shape.
We're in good shape for the shape we're in. To God be the glory. And
all
peace,
right,
love, sister, on the move. And the great show.
All right, sister, one love. One final note on that. You know what we say. If there's no justice, there ain't going to be no peace, even in the grave.
If there ain't no peace. Well, there ain't no peace. Because there's no justice.
That's right.
500 years, there you go. We ain't no justice. So ain't no
That's
peace.
Right.
But peace is in the grave.
All right, now. All right, my brother.
And that's real. That's a real talk.
All right.
But anyway,
moving on to the next one.
We talk when we talk. All right, peace and love, sister.
Peace.
Great show.
All right, let's go to caller at 2274. 2274, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
All right, Emperor C, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Adrian? I'm good.
Look, I earlier today downloaded Political Agenda for Philly elected official. The only thing I'm going to do is get somebody to cross out Philly and put Baton Rouge on that, because we need some type of guideline for black elected officials. And I'm very excited
about
the new...
You talking about the document that we did, that we took to city council?
Right.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded it several hours ago. Myself,
okay.
And the only difference that I'm going to do is instead of putting Philly where they had Philly, we're going to put
right.
Baton Rouge.
That's right. Absolutely. That's wonderful, Brother Adrian. And family, in case you don't know what Brother Adrian is referring to, what happened was, again, we put a couple of committees, cadres together here, and with the Recharge Genocide 21, and we're connected to a few other groups. And so what we began to issue is to start documenting these so-called elected officials. We want to know what their positions are on certain things. So we created a poll slash survey that has 5 questions on there. And one of them is, what was their position on reparations, yes or no?
Yeah. Which was the first question.
That was the first question, yep. We also asked, what was their position? I mean, what was their position on student loan debt? Right, because that's something that we really get ready to bring forward. We asked their position on COINTELPRO and those political prisoners that are still incarcerated. Should they be free? Yes or no? Right. So there's 2 other questions. Right. So that's what Brother Adrian is referring to. So we sent that to the city council. The next step is to send it to the black senators and then to the black state reps. I think it's only 1 black congressperson. But the whole idea is to begin to get real clear in black and white what are the position of the people who our people are voting for on key issues. And so that's what Brother Adrian's talking about. So it said on the forum, Philly City Council. So what Brother Adrian is referring to, he's going to scratch out Philly and put Baton Rouge, and that's really, that's part of the plan, because it's a Recharge Genocide, application anyway. So anywhere that our people are that are supporting or involved in Recharge Genocide 21, they can just, you know, adopt whatever documents we put out on the national level or the city level. They can adopt it and go ahead with it. And let's start getting this stuff documented. So I'm really glad to hear, Brother Adrian. Really, really glad to hear that. So this is going to be interesting. When is your next election for city council?
I'm going to get back with you on that coming up very soon, because people are sending in now absentee voting. As a matter of fact, my mom sent one in, but voting straight Democrat is not working. So therefore, we're looking at that, and this is why I start studying earlier this week the Nubian Nation under Dr. Malachi York, and how they were able to build their own compound and able to build up wealth to $400 million, where they were going to buy the Atlanta airport before the FBI moved in on them. And this is why I'm very excited, and I know you're not going to talk too much about this at this point, the New Day business line, which I'm going to be involved in, because we as a people have to start recycling dollars in our community to start addressing unemployment and security as well as other issues. So I downloaded what you just mentioned, so as a template and a starting point, so we can make elected officials, whether they're black, white, Asian, or whatever, you have to show some type of agenda to the black community. We in the black community have to start tying political agendas to economics, so we can start making what is called demand. So therefore, for example, right now, we have a new governor, Jeff Landry. A lot of people are upset about that. But we had a black man who ran for governor, but yet it didn't even make the runoff. Now, somebody just pointed out earlier today that I was talking to that it was the black vote, and I knew this part, but the black vote put Governor John Bel Edwards back in the governor's mansion to reelect him, but yet he didn't support the black candidate running for governor, even though he can't run for governor again. So we have to make people, force people to show some solidarity towards us. How is it that people like the Ukrainians, the Asians, the Japanese, the Chinese don't talk about voting, but yet they get more things than we do? It's because they have formulated a political agenda and tied it to economics to say these are some demands that are a concern to us, and we got to do the same thing. So as people talking about voting in this elected season, voting straight Democrat, the same people who criticized Trump the whole 4 years didn't criticize Biden on the 7691 Ukrainian Supplemental Act. They didn't criticize Biden when Brittany Griner was in jail in the Ukraine. They didn't criticize Biden when several African leaders were murdered because they didn't want to put the vaccines in front of that community. See, we got to point this stuff out and be fair across the board, whether if it's Republican or Democrat. I don't care if a red dog runs for political office. We got to make people accountable to us. That's why when Minister Farrakhan put together the Million Family March political agenda of 2000, we have to revisit those things. And we have to revisit those things soon because we're the ones that are suffering the most. When foreigners can come from their country and have a government from their country back them up, like the Japanese, like the Japan government is backing up the Japanese. And it also, when you ask Brother Ray Ray about stop and frisk, it also makes difference of the relationships of stop and frisk, the police. So therefore, the police do not brutalize Asians, Japanese, Chinese, because they have not only a political agenda, but they have it to where you have to ask their permission, police have to ask their permission to go in their community and make an arrest. And we have to do those things. So we have to revisit MOVE, RAM, 9UP, and all those groups that have been decimated because of white supremacy in the past. We have to revisit those political agendas because it's our future generations that's at stake, and we have to do those things. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to do those things is to be able to organize together, and we have to start that process on the micro level and the macro level.
Absolutely. You are on point, Brother Adrian, without a doubt. That's why last night, you know, again, it's important that we give people the history of certain things. That's why last night with Baba Mukasa and Sister Cleo, they are veteran freedom fighters from SNCC. And we were able to examine, you know, what they did as students and then moving into, you know, the growth and development and so forth. And this is what we're doing. We're giving people the information coming directly from the people who did it. And then it helps us to navigate in what we have to do today. And so for those that do not know, come March, we're going to be doing, MWM will be, we'll be doing our National Black Women's Political Power Convention. And so that the sisters can come up with an agenda that black women, because remember, family, what did Biden and what's her name, the vice president person, I forget her name.
Kamala Harris.
Right. What did they say? It was black women that was very important in getting them in office. And
yeah.
So if we do not understand that dynamic, and I've watched very carefully over these past 10 years how black women are manipulated both in the political arena and in the economic areas, which I'll go into at another time. But because anytime you have Sachs Goldman giving $1 billion for black women to develop business, and again, we'll have that conversation another time. But see, all that is very strategic, and that is to get black women to do what they want black women to do, because most black women are not trying to organize us as women until now, at least to the degree that I'm talking about. But I digress. But thank you, Brother Adrian. You got something else you wanted to share?
Yeah, real quick, speaking of that, when Hillary Clinton said that Margaret Sanger was one of her heroes, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, and we, as you talk about the Asians, let's remember how they own a large segment of the distribution of black hair care products. And the time that you're talking about, Asians were running a campaign about Stop Asian Hate. Jewish people now are running a campaign that anti-Semitism went up 388%. Now, I don't know how they came up with that number, but you're very right. Black women was the voting bloc that put Biden in office, and that's the voting bloc that's being ignored. And the thing that bothers me, which I told somebody earlier today, if Trump was in office, we would be criticizing and be all over it. But somehow Biden is getting a pass, and we have to change that.
Yep. Well, again, it goes back to what Baba Kwame Ture taught us, and that was to organize, organize, organize.
And that's why when I sent out our blurb today or this evening, one of the phrases in there was, now we're going to see who is who and what is what, because the lines are drawn in the sand. And so questions have to now be asked by various people, entities, groups, organizations. And the questions have to be, what are you doing or supporting that is self-determined oriented when it comes to us? Because if that's not a part of who's ever agenda, I don't care whatever else they're talking about, if there's not something in there that is not saying we are about supporting independent something, 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 then y'all need to scratch them off of your list. I'm telling you, because it ain't real. It's just helping to keep America moving and doing whatever to do. There has to be some criteria in identifying when we say we about certain things, when we black, when we whatever. What does that mean? Because if we're not talking about having independent stuff, our own education, our own health, our own whatever, then you're playing. Playing.
Yeah.
And
we should have learned that under Obama.
Yeah, we need to rid ourselves of that. But we're going to have them conversations real soon because we got something that's coming, y'all. I can't tell you about it yet, but we're going to find out for once and for all who's tricking and who's treating. Oh, I didn't mean to say that just yet because Halloween the past. But y'all get the gist of it. All right, Brother Adrian, thank you again. All right, we got one more. All right, we got one more, and then we're going to bring in Sister Betty T, and we're going to have this conversation about martial law, why all of a sudden we're starting to hear more about that. Now, remember, if y'all go back to COVID, do y'all remember when it first started rolling out, when there was a curfew in a lot of cities? You had to be in the house by 10 o'clock. At least that's what they was trying to do. Do y'all remember who they was talking about helping to put that rulings in place temporarily under the guise of public safety? Do y'all remember? Anyway, we're going to get into that in a minute. But before we do, we got one more, and then we're going to bring in Sister Betty. So we're going to call her at, your last digits are 7628. 7628, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Jumbo, this is Baba Yao, the African Cuban plumber from D.C.
Hey, Baba Yao.
All right.
How's my brother tonight?
Oh, man. No breathing, no situations. Wanted to make a donation to, if Mama don't have no plaque or no identification ring, $100 donation is on the table for that. And
give thanks, Asante Shana.
And I heard now DC place that has like 6 different police there that we know of. And would you say the what's the people you were saying that they call in the
National Guard?
The National Guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had done it in D.C. for a minute when it was, I think it was COVID. The National Guard was present,
mm-hmm.
and usually. If a black person is in office, it set the stage for, and most of them are Democrats, like you said, most of them are Democrats.
That's right.
And also, I heard a statement on WPF there. He said, "If something like this, I'm paraphrasing, if voting has really assisted us, they would make it illegal." I heard that today. What? I thought that was a profound statement.
Wow.
I forgot my get trained. Oh, the police. Now, when it was Katrina, the black guy came mm-hmm. out of New Orleans, who was a police chief in Philadelphia. I mean, in D.C. first, then he moved on to Philadelphia. I forgot his name.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Dallas. He was in Philly first, then he went to D.C., and then he went to Chicago.
And before that, he was in New Orleans. He was police chief there. Randall.
I know you're talking about. You're talking about police. I'm talking about Dallas, who was the superintendent. He was the school superintendent. And he went to same thing, same hookup, just a different office. But, yeah, I got you now. Yep.
Right. So all that does is just soften it up for the other people that's coming behind us. And yep. like you said, the mayor of Philadelphia, the black mayor we had in Philadelphia was Wilson Good. We know what happened. And I told people that if voting had helped us, and a lot of people say, oh, people die for people to vote. They're going to die
right.
anyway. Right? And I think I voted one time in my life, and I'm 55. And I didn't kind of tell a lot of people that, because I know a lot of so-called bourgeoisie and black Democrats. And the real deal, they have, all these years, they have traded the dice between the Democrats and Republicans, and we still where we at. Right? That means you had your board mm-hmm. here, and y'all playing dice. And you say, all right, well, let somebody else go to dice. But it's been between yep. them two parties. Right? And if you
That's
notice,
right.
if any other party do show up, like the white people with the Republicans, I forgot who they were, and they'll let you get in at first, and let you know both of them will gang up on both of them. We'll gang up on who's the next party that might have won an election. Then let
right.
you know that part will be part of whatever platform they have. If it's Republican, they would actually join in with them to jump on everybody else.
Right,
so,
right.
I lost my train of thought, but me and you had a discussion early on
right.
about the whole thing and understand the politics.
Right.
And understand it for real. What's their role and how they actually play. And I'm going to say,
yep.
I lost my train of thought. Got my $100 up. And let's find out so we can get on the moon. Because if voting really works for us, because it's their game. They
that's right.
Made it
and that's right. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, Bobby. We're going to bust it up and break some of it down, because I just got some information just a little while ago that gave me some clarity. Again, here in Philly and in a few other states, they have the Working Families Party, which, of course, for Philly, the last election, they put in two city council people. And then the next election, they put in two more city council people. And this is the Working Families Party, right? Well, I just learned a little while ago who's behind that party. So we can
oh.
have a real good conversation, because it ain't who y'all might think. Well, no, some of y'all already know, but I'm just saying, you know, it's much deeper than you think. Because I wasn't even thinking with what I heard. So, and we're going to put some of that out there tonight. So thank you, Baba. We're going to bring in Sister Betty now and get this report from Memphis.
Gabo.
All right. Asante Sana. Okay, family, listen. Again, if anybody knows who's behind the Working Families Party, I'm going to see if anybody can text me or you know, you can push one later and see if you know who's really behind it from what I was told. And I usually get some pretty good sources, by the way. All right, let's get ready to bring in Sister Betty T. And she, of course, is boots on the ground. She does a wonderful political analysis. And we're going to talk with her about, she was the one that sent me the information on, they're talking about bringing the National Guard there.
Now, we've heard this before, needless to say. And so, again, the new mayor here from Philadelphia, part of her platform was, you know, to increase law enforcement and so forth and so on. So y'all need to know what the game plan here is. Anyway, let's go to our On the Live Line and talk with our Sister Betty T. Hey, Sister Betty, how are you this evening?
How are you, Empress?
Oh, wonderful, Sister, wonderful. Yep, we hear you loud and clear.
Awesome, awesome. I say it's an honor to be with you tonight. Definitely boots on the ground. You know, my mentor was the late Queen, Sister Georgia Ann King.
Mm.
Are you familiar?
I'm not.
As well as Minister Shakura Yahweh. Are you familiar?
Only nope. In hearing the names, but not, you
nope.
know, I don't know a lot about them. But please share with us.
Right.
Tell us.
Right. Well, I can definitely tell you without hesitating that when I saw and began to get the information, and I tell everyone that I'm an underground conductor. I have walked with my elders who have given me the mandate to continue their works. And that's heavy, you know, because there's nothing handwritten, but it's all spiritual. In Memphis, Tennessee, I have to tell you all about the bloodshed on our street that continues to flow. They call my city the city of the dead. They also tell us that from my family line that it's no man's land. You have to understand the trick that's been played on Memphis ever since yellow fever. I'm not talking to you from hearsay. I am the example. This comes through my epigenetics. So when I understood that, I had, as the elders told me, I had to go back to school. So they sent me back to school not to learn, but to create our solution for Memphis, Tennessee. Now, historically, since June 23rd, 1990, when the life of a black man was still worth less than a dog, meaning that the laws of Memphis, Tennessee, the two laws that they go by, that they still go by, they will value a dog. The laws for you killing a dog, get up. You get more time killing a dog than you would a black man. So what does that say to me? It says to me that you still have that wicked mindset, that wicked scientist, Willie Lynch, that you still going to make you a nigger. Well, see, can I say that word? Yeah, I can say that word. Well, actually, the word for our people is ninja, okay? We'll say it because it's Niji, okay? Mm-hmm. We are the aboriginal indigenous peoples of these lands. And Chief Warhorse said it best. She said, you know, Plymouth Rock fell on us because when they moved the property line, we didn't move.
That's your brother
Malcolm story.
Said, you're a, by the way.
You'll come to
brother
my
Malcolm
Memphis. You'll
no,
come to
said,
my Memphis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You'll come to my Memphis, and you can go down Danny Thomas, and you'll see a plaque that says Chickasaw. It talks about the Chickasaw Indians and the Trail of Tears. You'll go past certain streets and you'll see the monuments of the Black Trail of Tears. See, it's been a long war, but we can't get our people to wake up to understand we've been in war. So as we're talking today on New Day, it has to be a new day. How do
That's
we get
right.
our minds back from the devil? Because this is a devil. When, like the sister said, you know, I would have freed Sister Harriet. I would have freed more of us if I could have got us to realize we were slaves. So social wellness had to come in when my elders came to Memphis to help me when I had been set up to be killed. When I worked for an employer, did over and above, send me, gave me a building called two plates to do all the formulas, because our people have a God code inside of us. So when we turn that God gene on, that epigenetics, you know, that we still get the traumas in as well. But when we turn that God gene on, these things that we're talking about that we must activate, see, that's what social wellness is about. That's why I'm speaking the campaign, Come Home and Pray with Me. Z Betty, why I said, what's all that foolishness about? See, I got to be relevant for this generation, because we have messed our children up, and some of our elders have not, unlike today, Empress, what you did. Baba and the rest of them, just like what you're doing, what Dr. Carnita Atwater did with the Memphis 3.0. She set us down like we were in pre-K. And I have to give credit where credit is due. Few of our elders do that, and they say, baby, no, this is not Kool-Aid in the river, it's water. No, it's not water, it's blood. No, overhead, Spike Lee, I remember, when I was at the University of Memphis creating this degree. I didn't say I went and got their degree. I said I did what? Create this degree. Why did I have to go create a degree? Because, see, our people come from the epigenetics of being in trauma. How can I get you to move from that fright and flight to be awakened enough to hold people accountable for what they do to you? In the Poor People's Campaign, didn't Reverend Barber say, silence is consent? Uh-oh. If our people don't understand being socially well, I mean, you have to know your past. I'm a filmmaker as well, so I'm documenting your oral history. I'm documenting right now because I happen to be a black woman living in right now. And we have to do this, put it together, and have a brain, a God brain. And he made us in his image. They made us in. Okay, we'll have class, a lab. I do laboratories. So I say people can invite me. But can I go into the article that I sent you? Can I go into
Let's do this because we want to get kind of move into the article that you sent in terms of what is being proposed for the city there.
Yes, and that's why I started with the solution, because I am the former president of the West Tennessee Victims' Rights Task Force, and that was under John Perotti and Ken Blackburn. So we're talking about babies. I think there's been 117 babies killed in Memphis, maybe more than that. So I tell people, I say, you all understand Memphis is just like that altar, that they got to have blood, fresh blood. Our blood. So we're operating from what Baba said and my other Babas that have had me, and Queen Mother Georgiana King, boots on the ground. And she said, we must continue to keep our boots on the ground. I'm ordained, I cannot get the peers here to pick up the mantle. I've been crying in the streets since 1990. Created the victims' grief recovery, trained the chaplains at the Med. I've been underground working. I have been going behind the doors of the leadership of my Memphis, facilitating social wellness since 1990. Mothers of the Nile called us to the Dave Wells area where the young ladies were cutting themselves up. Well, why are our people crazy, so to say, or zombies in the mind? Well, y'all just got to be talking about some of the items on Agenda 21. When we were dealing with COVID and all of the other things that have been hitting our people. See, they are still trying to find out how to totally destroy the black man. Even the fight with W.B. Du Bois, and y'all know that fight? George Washington Carver?
What we want to do, though, sister, is can we get to the article? Meaning,
yes,
we want to hear about
the
experience proposed for Memphis at this point in time.
I sent you the developing story from Action News 5. You know, and anyone
right.
can go online and they can pull that up. It the state senator asked Governor Lee to send the National Guard to Memphis. That was published November the 16th of 2023. That's that article by Joel Griffin Moore. And in that article, the very first sentence, I said, if we don't come together as a people, we can just hang it up. Because this is something that Minister Shakur Yahweh taught us on Agenda 21. The very first thing they said is they let us know we're taking your city, a city under siege. And that's how the elected official described it. This was State Senator Brent Taylor. And he said his constituents were calling for the National Guard to come to Memphis following a spike in violent crime.
So
if you know my Memphis,
mm-hmm.
if you know my Memphis, when has the violent crime stopped? We've been fighting since 1990, in the article, if you go down and you talk about where she said the police, she said she don't think that the police chief, C.J. Davis, said she don't think added repeat offenders are the real problem. She said we should be focusing on crime prevention and legislation. Yes, I've continuously put the degree being made in social wellness, helping our people heal, and the double law since 1990. But that is covered up. So we're talking about Agenda 21. Who are your leaders and what's their agenda? What's your real agenda? Because it doesn't matter what your face look like. It says survey that you have that I need a copy, and I need to put Memphis on it and take it back to city council. Yes, we're talking about recidivism.
So, okay, so let's look at, now you said this article came out November 16th, and
mm-hmm.
it is proposing that the National Guard comes to Memphis because of the increased crime. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so let me ask you, and again, I you probably don't know the figures right now, but what, in your opinion, do you feel that, and you kind of already answered it, but I just want to be very specific because I'm going to connect this in a minute. Do you feel that the crime rate, and I'm going to say specifically murder, not just, you know, robbery or burglary, but I'm going to say specifically murder, right, and specifically by gun violence. Do you feel or has it been reported, let's say, within the past 2-3 years where there is a major increase?
I cannot. I can tell you how I feel, but
okay.
I cannot give you accurate numbers because I deliberately, for my health reasons, deliberately do not keep up with numbers. And I do that from my heart. That'll be a whole nother show on how I'm training people with their traumas to do as well as a form of detachment. But if you go
okay.
into this article, it states preliminary TBI data shows a 42% increase in murders in
right.
Memphis. Now, this is
right.
what Kenneth Whalen said. He said, now, his statement, and it concerns me. He said, we're already in a police state. Except that it's the criminals policing the streets. We're in a state of emergency. Kenneth Whalen said this, and he said, we're long overdue for asking for help. Long overdue from as well not looking at the problem. And then we'll have to go back to what you talked about, who's leading your city.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, So with that said, so the person who proposed this, what party is that person representing?
This is the Democrats. This is the Democratic Party, Democratic
right.
Tennessee
okay.
Senate Minority Leader.
Okay.
And all of
them.
This is the Democratic Party, according to this article.
Okay. And just for point of clarity, was that person? What is that person's ethnicity? Black or white?
I don't know their ethnicity from the article, but
okay.
One thing I see in the article. Is she said, and this is correct. You should be focusing on crime prevention and gun legislation. And
uh-huh.
I would add, because if you get into my social wellness research, you will see just like, remember the war on drugs?
Uh-huh.
The war on drugs was the war on the drug addict, Dr. Gabor Maté. It was
right.
the war
right.
on the drug addict. You put the drugs in our communities, and then you create yourself as the solution. Hello, okay. That's on social wellness. You got to be socially well. What you're doing is you're saying, let's look at these people and what are you bringing to the table. Then we can hold ourselves accountable. If we know who you are and what you're bringing to the table, we still keep you in office, okay. Because there's an agenda. It's called Agenda 21. And that's with
okay.
all of the leadership and the mayors coming together to implement this so that martial law will be brought into the states.
So now let's connect some of this. So we mentioned earlier, family, that we saw what we call, some of us call, a test run for 2-3 years, and we're talking about specifically COVID, roughly around from 2020 to up to, you know, recent. So for at least 2 years, we saw something in effect. And for those who kind of do certain kinds of analysis, we knew that was, or believed that was a test run. Because in certain cities, when it first hit, they literally made a curfew in most major cities. And even with transportation, things of that nature. Buses were stopped, trains were stopped, and so forth in many of the major cities. So we saw right before our eyes a form of martial law. Now, let's fast forward or go back for a moment. Those who remember the Patriot Act or Homeland Security and other related documents that came out that kind of alluded to certain things could be suspended, meaning certain everyday laws or whatever could in fact be suspended under, you know, certain situations. So we were confronted with what was called a public health crisis. And of course, in that particular situation, it gives the local, or rather the local motor operations no longer have the same capability, meaning they can be overridden. So we
mm-hmm.
saw that right in front of our eyes under the guise of public safety, i.e. COVID. Now, let's go back for a moment. We had, and I mentioned this earlier, Sister Betty, there was two other so-called epidemics. Now, of course, they weren't pandemics because we always tell people as things develop, they develop, meaning wherever things are at one point, you can best believe it's going to escalate because that's the way stuff moves. It's just like once upon a time, the only way you had a telephone was connected to a cord in the wall. Well, at the period of time, that's not what it is any longer. Therefore, things are going to develop in a certain kind of manner, which one would call an advancement. So, okay, we had right before our eyes an epidemic that was known as AIDS, HIV, right? And
yes.
it was running rampant. And then, of course, in black communities, it began to manifest in a whole different kind of way. we also then had crack cocaine.
Yes.
It too reached epidemic levels, right? Okay, so again, we saw the devastation of that all over the country, particularly in black communities. Then, fast forward, we then saw COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a question. I want you to stay right there, Mr. Bate, but I want to go back to our family that's listening. This is a question. What have we learned from any of that? When you do the critical analysis, what have we learned from those three things right before our eyes in terms of public interaction, response, preparedness, things of that nature? Okay. We'll go back to our callers, to our family. Brother Adrian, I see you still in queue. I'm going to come to you for a moment and ask very briefly from you. What are your thoughts? What have we learned? And you're right there in New Orleans, so you also saw Katrina. And while that wasn't what I would call an epidemic, it certainly was a disaster, a situation. So again, the question is, we've seen these things in our lifetime. We've seen the devastation that it had on our family communities. What have we learned? What's your thoughts, Brother Adrian?
Well, here's the thing that we should have learned. What have we learned? But we should have learned that when you say, I'm right here, yes, we dealt with it, because I remember the population of Baton Rouge quadrupling within 2 days of people trying to get away from the storm and the military trying to shoot at people to get people back in the storm. But what we should have learned is us to be able to work together, because there were people that we talked to, because, you know, I'm in media, and we had a television show, The Community Defender, the same name that I carry in podcast, a television show in Lafayette that is still going on. And we asked several people. We said, well, why didn't you try to get out? And several people told us, I was waiting for my check to cash. $100 could have been the difference of people getting out and people staying on the roof for 5 days. So one thing we should have learned is not only to organize economically, but to be involved with getting to know each other, so when disasters and epidemics or pandemics come, we can be able to move strategically to get each other out. The first thing we have to do is get to know each other, because we don't have communities anymore. We have neighborhoods. So we have to get to know each other, so when these things happen, we can be able to move and get each other out. How many? What family is next door to you to be able to, and how many people in the house and how many cars you have to be able to get out? What we should have learned is to be able to first to get to know each other. That's the first thing we should have learned.
Okay. So, all right. So I got all of that, and I'm going to go back to the initial question, though, because you're right. You're absolutely correct. That's what we should have learned. But I'm going to stay focused and ask the question also, what do you think we have learned? Not what we should have. I got that, and you're right. You're absolutely correct. But what do you think we have learned?
What we have learned is that regardless of that we can't depend totally on the system of the United States government.
Okay.
That's what we know. That we have to be able to regulate to each other, because one thing that did happen that was on a positive note in our neck of the woods is that we did have churches and shelters open up. We did have people volunteering their time, even though they didn't get paid, to assist during these times and during these tragedies. That's one thing we did learn, that we had to depend on each other, and we've learned in a cold how to depend on each other. And that's the first thing we learned during the pandemic, that we set up different systems of communication and other things.
All right. Hold that thought, my brother. Okay, let's go to, that was Brother Adrian. Let's go to Baba Yao and ask Baba Yao. Baba Yao, in your opinion, based on that, what we just talked about, those three to four situations, What do you think we've learned from any of that? Oh, yeah. Okay, not sure what happened with him. So let's go to, hold on, let me see. Let's go to, okay, we got a caller at 4298. 4298, what's your thoughts? What do you think we learned?
Thank you, thank you. My name is Robert Moses. I think, you know, we've learned that, you know, we definitely can't depend on the duopoly, the government, the Democrat-Republican system. We need to organize ourselves, as we say, get to know each other. That means organization. We learned that we can only depend on each other, and we need to be organized. That was the critical lesson, that we must be organized. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, my brother. Okay, so we kind of got to have a, it's kind of a similar what we've learned. Both brothers said, you know, we've learned that we can't depend on other entities, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let me just ask, is there anyone else that has a thought about that? If so, press 1 now. And then I'm going to ask this question. Okay, do we have anyone else that has a comment on what have we learned? Okay. Okay, we got caller. You're at 8714. 8714, your mic is open. What have we learned? 714, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. I'm Kimberly Muhammad, and what we have learned is what I feel we should be learning is our health and our well-being and our emotional, social wellness, everything that we have experienced in our life and our health. And once you have problems with your physical body, you come to a different reality of what's really important. Because when you don't have your health, you can't even do anything.
Okay. So let me be a little more specific, my sister. So we mentioned that there were 3 epidemics, right? And so,
yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, so you're saying that from those situations, we learn that our health is important. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Got you. All right,
yes,
thanks.
Ma'am.
Thank you, sister. Okay, we got one more, and that is actually 2 more. Okay, so then we got caller. You're at, hold on 1 minute. You're at 2816. 2816. Your mic is now open also. What did we learn from those 3 situations?
Living on the front line.
Yes, sir. What did we learn from those 3 situations?
Well, sister, I would like to say something. You're living on the front line. I would like to say something, not disrespectful, but not a damn thing. Because if you know better,
okay,
you do better. And we ain't
okay.
Get better. So obviously we didn't learn a damn thing. But let me just go back to the sister in Memphis. I'm glad that the National Guards are coming to Memphis because they should have been all over this country, Chicago, all over this country, they should have National Guards. Because we buck wild. In Memphis, Tennessee, when you argue or have a fight with somebody, it ain't over until they kill you or you kill them. They'll swallow your face, walk away, and blow your brains out. Death is the final solution in arguments in Memphis, Tennessee. I learned that. Okay, so my point is, it's terrible. And as she mentioned, Kenneth Whalum. His father was a pastor of a big mega church in Memphis, Wilbur Whalum. And Memphis is a very soulful place. Kenneth Whalum,
Hold on. We want to know what we learned right now, because I got to go to other callers.
Kurt Whalum is a saxophone player on Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. That saxophone is Kurt Whalum. She mentioned Kenneth Whalum, his brother, Crass Whalum.
So going back to what we learned.
I said earlier, it's not a damn thing. If you learn better, you do better.
That's the part I want right there. Okay, we haven't learned anything.
Okay, not a damn thing. But I want to add on to Kenneth Whalum, his baby brother, Kurt Whalum, is a saxophone on the song with Whitney, I'll Always Love You.
So now we're going to go to caller at 9462. 9462, your mic is open. What have we learned?
That we are at war. We are unprepared for war. There is no limit that this system would go to take us out. The goal is genocide, menticide, eugenics, and our demise. And until we are as committed to our survival as they are to our demise, that's the one we're going in. I yield.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you, Mama. Okay. Now, with that all said, so we got several comments on what we've learned. I'm going to kind of almost agree with the brother who said we haven't learned anything, and here's why. And I'm going to come back to you all as well when I make this statement, and then we're going to also go back to Sister Betty. So I mentioned three epidemics, the crack cocaine epidemic that devastated our families and communities, the AIDS situation, which, you know, that was just a whole nother ball of wax. And then, of course, the recent COVID. Now, here's a question, the follow-up question. How many of you know of groups and organizations in your community, as well as your own family members, as it pertains to those three issues, meaning COVID hit, we couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't get access to water for a minute, or at least in some locations because they ran out. You couldn't even get paper towels. You couldn't get toilet paper for a minute because they ran out. It was even hard to get food for a minute because they ran out. So this was recent. This was like 3 years ago. Now, let's go back a little further. Also, of course, again with the COVID thing, it was an issue of sanitization. Now, let's go back a little further. We had the crack cocaine epidemic. So let's look at the biological warfare that hit us with that. So let's fast forward again and look at the biological warfare that hit us with COVID. Now, let's go back for a minute with the HIV thing. Here's my point. And all of you are correct in terms of what we learned, because we once again saw that the system is not going to help us. We once again saw da-da-da-da. But what did we learn from any of that after seeing, understanding, comprehending? What did we learn from that? I'm agree with the brother on that one. Obviously, we didn't learn it. Well, I won't say nothing. We didn't learn very much, because here's why. Again, in your community, do you know of a group that's organized in your community where you know you can get some water or some other essentials? And I mean, know this. Not you know, I think I can. No. You know you can go there and get something.
No.
Do we know in our community where you can go? I mean, I can go on and on. My point is we've had three very devastating situations in our community. And I'm saying for the most part in most of our communities, and I'm talking about the groups, organizations, the churches, the whole kit and caboodle, we are not teaching our people CPR. We are not teaching our people basic first aid. We are up. So again, what have we learned? Have we helped each other to know how to clean your water? At least to the degree where, you know, it'll hold you over for a minute. So my point, family, is we got to start being realistic about some things here and tell the truth. Because if we don't, then the next time this thing happens, we'll be having the same conversation. You know what? But at the same time, what have we learned from any of these things? Once we've seen it and it has manifest, what have we learned? In your home, do you have an escape in terms of a fire? Have folks figured out if the front part of your house is on fire? Blah, 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 blah. I'm saying we got to stop this. We really do. And don't get me wrong, I'm still working on it too, so I'm not trying to criticize anybody. This is a work in progress, right? I'm still trying to get it together too. But my point is we have to now look at this thing on the real. We've had AIDS. We've had COVID. You know, the way you couldn't sneeze on somebody or cough on somebody. My point is, what measures are we actually taking? And lastly, and I'm going to come back to you all, don't we see this stuff, some of this is too coincidental, and I'm using the wrong word. This stuff is so like they're repeating it.
Yes.
It just goes to the next level. But it's the same, they're repeating it. And so what my point is, the next time around, that thing going to be off the hook for real.
Yes,
the next time around, it's going to be unbelievable for real. COVID was unbelievable in a way.
Yep. Watch the next
so
round.
So what y'all think going to happen the next time around? And that's why I'm raising this now, because we have to be, you know, we can't be irresponsible. You know, we have to stop talking about, well, what we need to do is, we know that, y'all. We need to hear about, so here's the plan, or here's what we're proposing, or this is what we think we go, you know, we got to hit on some time, date, place, and make it happen. Because, like, everybody has agreed on one thing. We can't depend on the government. That you got that right. Now everybody was clear on that one. We all agree on that. But at the same time, at the very same time, with your children, our children, what plans of action, what programs, for lack of a better word, is being conveyed to the youth, the young adults, in terms of emergency response and preparedness and things of that nature?
Come on.
And y'all already know the answer.
No.
And this is why this has to be different, because we're either going to be part of the solution or we're going to be part of the problem. So I'm going to stop on that, and I'm going to come back to Sister Betty now. And with the brother saying, you know, he thinks the National Guard should be all over the place, well, I'm definitely not agreeing with that one, because, you know, to invite the enemy right in, it's one thing when they force themselves in your world. When you them in, ooh,
that's
baby, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother matter.
Mm-mm.
No. And so, again, going back to you, Sister Betty, so
and thank you because
go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Sister.
Because since the origin, that's why as I read the article, I'm like, I'm not at the point to waste my breath trying to go back to people who know my story and who know that I've been out here running with some solutions. They know I'm not hearsay, but I am the example. They know that I'm legitimate because they can look at my track record. they know that the solutions I offer, the pilots that have been put around in my Memphis work, from the resurrection of the Shell, Overton Park Shell. No one told anyone that our programs were there and made the people start coming to the Shell. No, they just take it. That's what Memphis do. You know, Memphis tell you, you steal a slave. And it doesn't matter whether it's from the church house or from the White House. They still tell you, you are that slave. So we've been running around dealing with individuals. Like I said, the Mothers of the Nile was one of the groups that called us in because the young ladies were cutting themselves up in the Dade Wells area. What do? We applied a program. Same thing. Dr. King said, massive program. And that's what we've been doing. No one talks about us because people do what they do. It, for us, it's not about money. For us, it's about survival. Do we need money? Yes, we've been self-funded since 1990. So what do? When we touch our people, that's how we, when we go back and we can track everyone down, even though they mishandle us. I said the city of Memphis should have been paid us way back, yellow fever, our family. We've been providing the golden rule since then. So if we don't come together and implement what I call, we call social wellness, because through the university college, we put it in a curriculum. We put it on YouTube. Go on YouTube, and you will see a Rise V Renaissance Center presenting the social wellness degree. Been up there since November of 2010. Graduation. We graduated. I graduated with the granddaughter of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Have been trying to engage with our people on every level. And no, we tell people when our Islamic or Muslim brothers and sisters ask us, well, you serving that white Jesus? No, I don't. See, I actually do know who I serve. I took history lessons and I studied the oral history of my people. No, that's not my belief. So I appreciate what you're doing with us today to put things out in the open so that we can hold people accountable and be held accountable ourselves. I tell people, try me, I don't mind, because I know who I am. I know my abilities and my skill sets. And if I can do the things I did for a company that's making billions of what I contributed, don't you think that social wellness and the skill sets that my company has, and I did say my company, that my company has, will be able to help our people become self-sustained? What did you say? Everything you said is something we've offered our pastors in Memphis. We have offered to come into their churches and teach, because we feel every shepherd should be responsible for all those people in the pew. If they got babies, the babies too. What have you trained them? Just what you said. Can you purify your water? Do you know what? Do you have an emergency plan for your family? Do you teach brothers and sisters alike? Can you protect yourselves if they come and kick your door down? What's your plan if they declare martial law? Where are you going? Do you know your neighbors enough to where you all can protect each other? See, these are the questions that we bring on the mind. But if no one ever asks you that question, guess what? It'll be like Katrina. No, if no one ever asks you, what's going to happen if they blow up the levee? What y'all going to do? No one asks the neighbors the question. Our family, when we had the flood over here in Memphis, we were in the street as first responders, helping people avoid the flooding water. How many families even have that, what we call social wellness mindset? We used to call it common sense, black folks. We don't have that anymore. So you actually have to have someone take you by the hand, which is what we tell people we do. We do life with you. You know, there's a sister, Kimberly Muhammad, beat fentanyl. 3 times God let her do it. New Jack City. So how am I going to be something that they're putting out here on our people like they do the drugs and the guns? You have to have somebody that's been there. See, our laboratories are real with real people and real families, and that's what we've been offering. We can't talk about it no more. I thank you for the opportunity, for being with you all, for sharing with you all, but this is why I boots on the ground, because we in it. we're doing life with our people. And we got to keep doing it. And thank you all for having me. We got to keep spreading it. And I tell people, I said, people are inviting me to their backyard barbecue, to the porch, to the Sunday dinner. I say, y'all just treat me right. Let's get this done. Because we have no one but God himself and each other. We better look at each other in the face. We better fall in love with each other. We better take it back on black code. My campaign is come home. Come home
all
and
right.
pray with me. We Betty.
All right.
That's it.
Well, give thanks, Sister Betty. I appreciate you. I thank you for all that you've shared with us. And again, family, what I'm saying to all of you is if you have a plan of action, because that's what it really comes down to. I love these conversations. We need to exchange the information, points of views, and things of that nature. But I have to say this, for 2024, it has to now really also be about what's the plan. I mean, you know, again, nobody has all the answers. I'm not suggesting that they do or we do. I certainly don't. I'm not trying to. But I do know this. Mm-hmm. We better start coming up with something. And I'm not saying that it'll work, but it beats a blank. That is for certain. So what I'm saying to everyone is we're making a lot of analogies, and that's very good because you have to start with, figuring things out. But we got to now take it to the next level. This is why last week we started formulating for MWM the Union of Black Women Workers. Why? See, again, if there's not an organizing component to whatever people are talking about, and again, yes. I know that everybody's not an organizer, so I get that, but you can support something that is. You
right.
see? See, this is key. And so my point is, with the cadre that we've now formed, the Union of Black Women Workers, because all black women are workers in one way or
yes.
the other. By being
yes.
organized, it allows us to begin to deal with some of these things we're talking about that are the problems. Because the other night, as Sister Betty will tell you, we had Sister Cleo on. Sister Cleo is a specialist when it comes to organizing, particularly inside of different entities. She is still in demand when it comes to hospital organizing. The workers, that's her forte. Just Google her. Google Cleo Silvers, and you will see she is top in her field when it comes to organizing. She was a union organizer. She was a community organizer. But she knows that stuff backwards and forwards and had been doing it for 40 years, you see. So we are getting with people who have these levels of expertise so that we can get from them what we need to fulfill some of what we're talking about. So, again,
yes.
everyone has a talent, a gift. We're just saying bring it. We cannot just talk about what the problem is or what we need to do. Well, we need to come together. Okay. I mean, how long are we going to keep saying that? We need to come together. We know that.
Yeah.
What's the plan of action? And, again, if you don't like my plan, that's cool. You need to like somebody's, though, or come up with one yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, you be about yourself. I mean, that you know,
yeah.
good, you could do that. You should always think about yourself and your family. But I mean, you know, we got to be a little more, a little broader than that too. So again, all I'm saying, family, is this: time has come for us to up the ante and raise the bar for real.
Yes.
And again, yes. if folks can't say, I'm actually doing something. If not you directly, you are supporting something that is. Because
yes.
if that's not
okay.
happening, turn in your
yes.
black card. I'm telling you, turn
yeah.
in your black card. Because you're playing.
Ooh, I love it.
You're playing. And we
Come
can't
on.
Keep playing games with each other like this. Stop it.
We need to function.
So I'm going to go back to the family for one more round of quick comments. We got about 5 minutes or so left. I want to thank Sister Betty T for sharing with us. And again, the writing's on the wall, y'all. We're talking about bringing martial law to Memphis. And you know, whether you think it's a good thing or not, I can tell you this. They have a plan. They got a plan. And I'm not saying we're going to be able to avoid or stop all of the plan, but I tell you this, our people, some of our people have fought. Whether they won or not, they still fought. And the one thing I know about life is this. If you give up the ghost and you don't even try, that's not honorable. That's not honorable.
It's not.
Now,
come on.
You know, whatever belief system you in, there are certain fundamentals that exist. You either leave out of here punk or you stand up and deal with whatever it is. One or the other. Yes, I said it. So I'm going to go back to you all, get some closing comments. Let's see. Let me see. Baba Yaa, you back yet? Oh, wait a minute. That's not Baba Yaa. I think I lost Baba Yaa. Okay, let's go to... I think I forgot his name. I think it's Reginald. But anyway, 4298, I'm going to get some closing thoughts from you, my brother. 4298. Maybe not. All right. Let's go to Brother Adrian. Brother Adrian, going to open your mic back up. What are your closing comments?
Yes, and the answer, and I thank you for having this sister on. Because I am connected to people in Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the things that we do in Baton Rouge is Louis Ali, who has a series about land literacy. During the pandemic, he started a home garden because they own some land, and they were able to grow mustard greens and tomatoes and so forth and those things, and also have an ABT park now where he bought 36 acres of land. And they're trying to start a small community where people will own houses on that land to start our own communities and put a school on there at some point. And the church that I'm involved in, United Christian Faith Ministries, which is headed by Pastor Mark Ellis and First Lady Mary Ellis, you know, we do a lot of partnerships with a lot of emergency preparedness and a lot of the food co-ops. I wanted to put that out there to answer your question. But in closing statements, I'm very excited about the New Day business line that I will be a part of. You can subscribe for free to www.emediagc.com. That's www.emediagc.com. You can go there and subscribe for free, where we will help advertise efforts like the sister that you had on and several of you guests to try to get us to not only economically empower ourselves, but also circulate information. And in my closing statements, I want to make people aware that you can stay connected with each other by not only subscribing to emediagc.com, but let's all the blog talks and all the conscious people who are on the airways stay connected to one another. You can reach me at 225-571-2274, 225-571-2274, and I look forward to working with you and us going and growing together.
Shay,
I love it.
Thank you.
Give them my number.
I definitely shall. All right. Thank you, Brother Adrian. Okay, let's go to 8714. Your mic is open.
Well, I would like to say thank you for your format, and I'm a privilege to be in the company of all of you wonderful, my wonderful brothers and sisters. And it's destined for us to overcome this, and our reunion is inevitable. And I feel that it's going to start with heal thyself. Everybody has to heal thyself.
I don't
do well talking sometimes like this, but I just want to say that. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Creator, the breath of life for Miss Betty and the Rise V Renaissance and social wellness practitioners. And if it wasn't for her, a lot of things that I've been through in the last 3 years, I don't know how I would have made it, because as she was saying, mm-hmm. I was a part of the war on the drugs, the war on the drug mm-hmm. addicts, and it has spared my life several times. So all mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I'm going to give them a chance to speak. Uh-huh. Thank you. And,
thank you. Thank yes. you. Much love and respect to you, sister.
Much love and respect as well to you and everyone else as well.
Ashe. Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. Going to go to, let me see if Mama Candy's still in queue there. Mama Candy, you still there? You got some closing comments
yes.
for us?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Out here, there's a small collective of us. And we found that a lot of elders don't have incontinent supplies. Real simple, not mm-hmm. not a rocket science. We've begun to encourage people: if you can get two of what you need, but you only need one, share
mm-hmm.
one, and continuously
mm-hmm.
set that example. Also. We're teaching things like how to alkaline your own water. All it
okay.
takes is a lemon seed.
Yep.
That's all
okay.
it is.
All right.
We're teaching how to purify water and distill
mm-hmm.
it, you know, with what's right inside your home where you are. Those are just some basic examples of the point
okay.
that I'm trying to make, so that we can have a chance at surviving, and I
mm-hmm.
yield.
All right, thank you, Mama. Yeah. And just to let folks know, what part of the world are you calling in from?
Oh, I'm in Olentangy, Washita, misnomered Columbus, Ohio.
All right, good thing. Thank you, Mama. All
bless
right.
You both.
Oh, black at you. All right.
Love you.
Yeah, yeah, and love you. As my sister, she often say, she say, love you more.
Yes. Yes. Thank
yeah.
you.
My
All
mama
right,
used
Sammy,
to say.
Yes. Let's go to 7628.
Okay,
we got you back, Baba Yow. I was trying to get you earlier, but good, we got you now.
Yeah, you know, being at my vision, I hit the wrong button. I was on Bluetooth and some old other stuff, but and it blocked
okay.
me. But one of the things I have learned is the National Guard comes in to protect the businesses, almost like the police. And I'm interested in protecting entities, especially black folks' entities. And the other comment is, what organizations? And sometimes I could believe that the different, say, religious organizations and that's had their own little thing, Pan-African or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they would help people that's not part of the organization. I'm not sure if they would do that. It'd be
mm-hmm.
like
asking
mm-hmm. a card or... Well, they ain't going to open the door. Just look out the window. So all that is questionable if they
mm-hmm,
can do that. Because
mm-hmm.
we had a Pan-African Festival in D.C., and we had more vendors. And right across the street was I must say, a project. And
mm-hmm.
a brother that came up that runs the August 19 group, he got on stage, and he was telling or asking the Pan-African community about assisting, because there were seniors that were had to make a choice between medical, medicine, and food.
Mm-hmm.
And them Negroes just heard the speech, and this might be how many years, I'm the question he came before. And I'm going to say them Negroes did nothing to help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So these different religious organizations or Pan-African
yep.
or organizations, I'm not sure, because most times they preach to the choir.
Yeah.
And they might not give you a helping hand.
Come on,
what you got to
do, what
you got the money for.
Yep.
That's my comment.
Okay. All right. Well, needless to say, this is why with what we are bringing forward, and, of course, Baba Yaga is a major part of this family, and it is, you know, we're not dealing with religion. That's your personal business. We're not dealing, you know, beyond a certain point with what political party you might be with or not with, you know, beyond a certain point. Our focus is us as Black folks, that we are connected and related based on that. That's our primary focus. And so with that said, we are committed to making certain that we support one another. We're going to be bringing various things now to help provide not only information, but training and other things. We can use this technology to our advantage. And so we're to do that. So for 2024, we're going to be doing sessions on health and healing. The sister said earlier, heal thyself. Well, that has to be also connected to know thyself as well, all right? And so that's why, again, like last night, we brought history. We brought it right straight from folk that lived it, did it, and still doing it. And so you will see now that we're bringing forward the various components, and others do it as well. Sister Keisha does it. Brother Ray Ray does it. So you know, we have, you know, different areas where we can connect with our people that are doing, you know, some of these things as well. And we're supporting them. So you're going to hear more. Lastly, before we close out, I want to share with everyone that one of the things you will hear the Union of Black Women Workers talk about and get ready for March, because there's going to be a major convention that will be bringing forward a Black Women's Political Convention, a Black Women's Agenda. So that way, by November, when we're ready for National Black Solidarity Day, but by November, we will have an agenda. Well, before then, in August, we'll have it to disseminate in our communities that as the Union of Women Workers, and it crosses the board from the house worker to the street worker, don't matter, right? But we will agree. We're going to vote on, is this what we want? Reparations. Is this what we want? We will literally vote on an agenda that we will present to our communities and to those people that's running. You see? And don't get me wrong. We're not expecting, you know, them to, you know, but at least we will put forth the effort to be organized, synchronized on a national level. This is going to happen in March, because March is Women's History Month. So lastly, we'll also be proposing two other things. One, educational collectives. We connected with Sister Alita, who's in California. They already have a model that they've been doing for several years that educates the children in the community, but they do it as a collective. And this is what we've been working on, because we know that, you know, some people, I mean, they can't do homeschooling. We know that's real. But those that can, we can do it collectively, take turns to do certain things. We've been working on that, but they've already got a model in California. So we're going to be introducing and see what part of that we can, you know, maybe extract from that. That's going to be proposed on a national level. And lastly, sisters who are willing to and ready to invest. Going back to what we said earlier about what did we learn, let me tell you what some of us have learned. We're looking at the dollar store. We're looking at how to own our own dollar plus stores. This way our women can invest. What does that do? Mm-hmm. That makes certain that we have access to day-to-day needs.
toilet paper, body, you know, soap, da-da-da-da-da, so that in the event of emergency, at least somebody is going to have that. We're going to have that.
Yes.
You see, everybody needs bleach, soap powder, other kinds of dishwashing, da-da-da-da-da. So by us owning in our community a dollar-plus
mm-hmm.
store, and we're saying for
mm-hmm.
our women to invest, our brothers too, but my area of expertise is women, you see. So I'm not
mm-hmm.
trying to, you know, discriminate. I'm just saying, as a doctor, that's my area of expertise, okay?
Yes.
So my point is, if sisters can pay for the nails and the hair, And sisters, I ain't trying to get on you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, can't we take one little portion of that we actually own, that you will get the dividend and residual from, that our children
mm-hmm.
can be hired, be trained for business, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the other
yeah.
piece. We have water. Because, again, this is our store. This is our, you know, we have
mm-hmm.
our needs at least for a period of time.
Yes.
This is what we're going to be talking about in March. And for all you haters that be tuning in, listening, you know, wishing us
mm-hmm.
ill will, guess what? All that's getting ready to come back at you.
Come on.
And I'm going to tell you how that's getting ready to happen in a minute, too. But not right now. Sister Betty, I thank you again. Moving right along. Again, family, this has
thank
been
you.
A wonderful segment. And we thank all of you for tuning in. And we'll be back next week, to say the least. Again, we're moving forward. You will get more updates and information on some of our upcoming Zoom meetings. We got a brothers group now that is actively every other week. They're meeting. The Maadic Men of Valor, and also we have some special announcements coming for you soon, because we've been building with some of our family in Jamaica, and also we've been talking with Baba Yao and Brother Lee about getting ready to take some students over to Cuba next year. So we've been getting this stuff done. We hope that you all will support. I'm not expecting it, because it ain't happened beyond a certain part yet, except for a few, and I love y'all and appreciate y'all. But we've did some test runs on things just to see, you know, how people will respond. And believe me, it's been real interesting. And we're going to break that down for you in a minute, too, because it needs to be understood that people talk a lot of stuff. But when it comes
mm-hmm.
to actually stepping up and doing it, totally
mm-hmm.
different ball game. So again,
yeah.
I thank you all. Next week we're going to talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal. The anniversary is coming up for December 9th in terms of, you know, when all of that happened. And we're going to have a conversation about the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism that we'll be starting very soon, with Mumia giving us lessons via you know, correspondence course. Okay, so we'll have that conversation next week and some other things. So family, thank you all again. And I'm going to close out with what we started, and that was solidarity. Right, solidarity. I mean, what can we say, family? We need it. We must have it. And that's like unity, but again, solidarity.
Everybody wants a friend, don't they? Everybody wants a happy end. They wanna be the game on the day. They wanna be somebody's friend. Everybody wanna work for a living. Everybody wanna build and walk. Everybody wants to be forgiven. They wanna shelter from the storm. You can be a enemy. You always come around. We don't need to fight all around. What we need.
Oh,
solidarity.
Awesome.